Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution, where I don't necessarily talk about religious things, more spiritual things. I do go to a church every Sunday and sing with the choir and then listen to the sermon afterwards, but I talk about spirituality for the most part. How are you all doing? I hope well. I'm doing okay, still alive. We're all staying alive, right? Just like that song by the Bee Gees, Staying Alive. Well, you can tell by the way I use my walk. I'm a woman's man, no time for talk. Music loud and women warm. I've been kicked around since I was born. Well, it's all right. It's okay. You may look the other way. We can try to understand the New York Times effect on man. Whether you're a brother or whether you're a mother, you're staying alive, staying alive. Feel the city breaking and everybody shaking and we're staying alive, staying alive. Staying alive, staying alive. Staying alive. So that's a song, one of my songs that I know. Oh, my friends, I've got so much to talk with you about. And let me begin by saying while I was gone for those 2 weeks, my wife and I and her two sisters went on a cruise from Miami. We flew into Miami on Saturday the 30th of November. That was the first time I missed my show. And then the next Saturday after that. And we spent the night in Miami at a nice hotel in downtown called the Hampton Inn and Suites. And there we met Jackie's two sisters, and we had dinner that night and went to bed, woke up in the morning, and got a ride to the port, boarded the ship, and then we were on our way to a 7-day cruise to Grand Turk. We didn't get off there. We'd gotten off before on a cruise back in June, I think it was. And we weren't too impressed with Grand Turk. It's a very beautiful Caribbean island, small, not a large population, but it smelled. There was a smell of like sewage in the air. I don't know what it was. It could have been because the tide comes in and goes out, and then the ground underneath smells, or it could have been like the sewage might not be adequate for the area that we were at. Alongside a beach, we had a beach excursion, and we spent a few hours there on the sand and enjoying the water, but we weren't impressed, so we didn't get off this last time, but we were going to get off in the Dominican Republic, a place called Amber Cove, and it was raining from the very beginning of the day. When we woke up, we looked outside the window, and it was pouring rain. And it stayed raining all day, so these free shore excursion tickets, because this was a special cruise that we had called Elite, and we didn't go, therefore we decided we wouldn't go, and I don't think it would have been any fun to be on the sandy beach in the rain, the wet sandy beach, and I don't know if there was any lightning. I didn't hear any thunder. So I don't know if it was natal lightning. I think it was just rain. But the next stop after that was Nassau in the Bahamas. And then we all got off and went on a shore excursion to the Blue Lagoon Island. Remember that movie, Blue Lagoon, with Brooke Shields? And we spent like 3 to 4 hours on the beach. I got in the water. They have like a, how would you describe it? Like a little bay on the inside, not attached to the ocean necessarily. But it was deep, at the deepest point, it was about maybe 5 feet deep. And there was a current that would take you from one end to the other if you go out to the middle, which is what I did. And it was pretty cold, too. But I don't mind cold water. In fact, I take cold showers all the time. Even in the wintertime, my friends, I've been taking cold showers for many years now, several years, and let me explain my rationale for doing that. If you look on the internet, and there's an article called The Art of Manliness, As you know, way back when, we didn't have hot water heaters on planet Earth in our history throughout the centuries. Only just until recently that we've kind of gotten soft, if you will. But I can understand, you know, we want things in a comfortable kind of way. And the ancient Japanese Asian people over there, they used to bathe daily in cold water, and it has benefits like increased circulation and better breathing. And there's a lot of articles on the internet if you're interested. It could also help reduce the number of allergies that you have. However, it is tough to get into cold water in the wintertime. So that discomfort, though, that you feel can be used to handle other situations that you get into that are uncomfortable, so to speak, that would help you deal with them better. Do you know what I mean? But my rationale is because I donated one of my kidneys to my son in 1995, and he's doing well now, thanks to God. He got a second kidney in 2014, and that transplant surgery was at the University of Michigan. Our surgery was at the Children's Hospital at Stanford University in California. And having one kidney after the surgery, I found that even though a person can live a healthy life with only one kidney, and that's what the internet says, all the research leads to that conclusion, although there's not a lot of long-term research regarding the longevity of someone who has donated one of their kidneys or someone who is living with only one kidney, period. I found that I needed to adjust my lifestyle to include my diet, and especially my diet, exercise. And I realized that I wasn't that concerned with being a hardcore exerciser like I used to be in the Army, doing all the push-ups and sit-ups and the run. All of a sudden, then, I focused on just getting back into shape, and they recommended walking, and that's what I did, a lot of walking in the beginning. Eventually, I started running again, but many years down the road, but that's another story. The rationale for taking cold showers for me now is because when you take a cold shower, the blood kind of tends to gravitate more towards the inner organs to protect them. It's a natural kind of instinct, if you will. And so then when that blood goes towards the inside of the body, and then you get out of the shower, then that blood then will go back towards the skin area. Same thing with a hot shower. You take a hot shower, the blood rushes to the skin, and then when you get out of the shower, the blood will come back towards the inner body, towards the interior of the body. But doing it the cold shower way is like a cleansing of the blood, if you will. And because the kidneys do cleanse the blood, or at least the one kidney I have does cleanse the blood, it kind of assists with that. And that's what I have determined in my research. And I'm all about living as long as I can. I'm not perfect. You know, when none of us are, I'm trying to do the best I can to ensure my longevity. And I guess I'm doing okay. I'm 70, going on 71 years old. There's always room for improvement. You know, we are works in progress. And I got to tell you this, and please remember this, I learned it on the cruise ship. And the entertainers on the cruise ship, the singers and the dancers, they had some really great shows, and they always do. All the cruises we've been on, the shows have been fantastic. And these singers and dancers, they are top-notch caliber that could perform in Vegas or on Broadway. One of their songs on one particular night, I forget what the theme of the show was, but the gentleman who was doing most of the singing was a very excellent singer, and he said in his words that he's still working on his masterpiece. How about you, my friends? Are you still working on your masterpiece? Are you trying to be like the best person you can be? Are you working on someone who can be like a god, if you will. And I've said this before, that we're gods in the making. Are you interested in being famous? I went to a Toastmasters class at a local high school yesterday and stood in front of about maybe 12, 13 high school students. And I asked that same question. I said, I want to be famous. How about you? Do you want to be famous? And I didn't get anybody that raised their hands really quickly, you know, anybody that raised their hand really quickly. But judging by the looks on their faces, I took a quick look at everybody's face. I think I did. Maybe I missed a few faces. But the impression that I got was, yes, they would like to be famous too. And these are like 16, 17, possibly 18-year-old students, you know, gifted. They are part of a gifted and talented group that I have gone to this high school to lead the Toastmasters class as the Toastmaster of the day. And that's part of my youth leadership program. I've completed 4 out of 8 sessions, and I'll complete the other 4 next spring, probably by the end of February, beginning in January. So way back to the taking cold showers, I feel good about it. And I am someone who has had allergies. We've got a couple of cats, and we've got dogs also. Not so much the dogs, but the cats. You know, they have hair and dander. And if you live in a house with cats, it can affect your sinuses. It has affected mine over the years. I grew up with cats. And I was tested for being allergic to cats. And even now, when I'm looking at one of our dogs lying on her bed, her name is Goldie. Sometimes she'll call her, come over my side of the bed. As long as she doesn't get too close to the pillow, then I'll wipe away all the hair because I can be allergic. I don't know if I'm allergic to other things, the other allergens in the air, like the oak and all the other types. You know what they are, probably. So my point is, taking cold showers has many benefits to me, and I'm going to continue doing it. But don't just take my word for it. As I mentioned, look on the internet. If you're interested in being able to handle allergies better, being able to handle discomfort better, having a almost like a cleansing of the blood, you know, like if you're on dialysis, either peritoneal or hemodialysis, is what the machine does. It cleanses the blood. And the taking of a cold shower is kind of like cleansing the blood. And the breathing is better too. My sinuses, I mentioned that, I think they clear up. I can breathe better. If I wake up in the middle of the night and one of my sinuses is clogged, one of my nostrils is clogged, all I got to do, and I've done this many times, get in the cold shower, and in about 10, 15 seconds, it just opens right up. Hey, how about that? So let's keep that in mind. All right, moving on, changing the subject, because I know I have a tendency to branch off to different things so I can keep the conversation going rather than stop and pause. Well, back to the cruise. It was an enjoyable cruise, and my wife's 2 sisters were there. We had dinner just about every night, except for the first night, I think. I really loved the dinner on the cruise ship. I think I've told you before, if you've listened to previous shows, I'm a vegan. I have a little bit of dairy and eggs sometimes, whether it's a dessert or some other kind of food, maybe a little bit of cheese with some meal, but not too much. For the most part, I'm 99.8% or 9% vegan, and have been so since 1999, so over 25 years, my friends. And I'm going well. And why did I do that? Because, again, having only one kidney, based on my research, and I might be wrong, but I found that the kidneys are all about digestion and the food that we eat. And to tell you the truth, I didn't always treat myself well. I didn't do the right things back then. I won't go into the details, but let's say that I didn't do everything right back then like I'm trying to do now. You know what I mean? And so I'm trying to just do everything right now, being 70 years old, again, to ensure my longevity. And, well, I'll be honest with you. I have my problems with substance abuse, like I think most people did do when they were young, you know, especially living with your parents and being under their influence. And so just to branch off, and I love this hour of mine. I got 55 minutes, actually, to talk, and it's great public speaking practice, you know. It's impromptu speaking. I don't prepare anything because I don't want to try to remember what I was going to say and have my mind go blank. So I just let it flow, let it grow, and it is fun. And I don't mind changing subjects quickly, you know, going from one thing to the other, because when you do, you have a tendency to lose your train of thought. It's just natural. And I encourage you to get your own show on BBS Radio. If you're passionate about some subject like I am, spirituality, extraterrestrial phenomena, near-death experiences. My mother put me on the path of spiritual enlightenment many years ago. She was a mystic, although she drank and she smoked. But that's okay. You know, I don't judge people. I try not to judge people for what they do because we all have free will. Right. I think that was the one thing that the Creator told us before we were born into this world, is that just like in that movie, Bruce Almighty, when Morgan Freeman gave Jim Carrey his powers, forget what, there was two things that he couldn't do. One was don't mess with people's free will, and that still applies to us. Don't mess with people's free will. I mean, you don't know anything about the person, whatever they're doing. As long as it's not harmful to someone else, you know, then do what you want to do. I'm not going to judge you. You know, I was there myself. I drank and smoked cigarettes and other things. But I can blame it on my parents in a good way. Don't get me wrong. Only that they shaped and molded me, you know, like they do, parents do, their children. And we, as we inherit their DNA, we also have those tendencies in our cellular structure to do the things that they did, the addictions, the substance abuse, other things too. It's all ingrained in our DNA, and so kind of like what your parents did, you acquire, and then it's up to you to break that cycle, you know, to overcome that curse, if you will, of addictions, which I was able to do eventually, but there was some times I went through that I was lost, and I didn't find my way until many years later. So I'm grateful that I was finally able to kick the habit and then get on the narrow and straight road to living a better life, in my opinion. You know, that's what I figured out I needed to do. Anyway, I'm looking at the movie. I was looking at a movie before the show. Do you remember the movie The Revenant? I'm changing the subject now. The Revenant was a pretty cool movie with Leonardo DiCaprio about some trappers and hunters back around the 1700s and the fight they got into with the Indians. And they had all these pelts, and so they were making a lot of money off of these fur pelts. And it's all about survival and the hardship that they endured, that someone could endure under those circumstances, like what Leonardo DiCaprio went through, being attacked and mauled by a bear and just barely alive and still encountering, you know, Indians. And he was in that water. Did you know in real life he actually went into that icy water? Now, there's some cold water for you, colder than what I usually do, but he survived that. And then he didn't have much food, and then he had to walk for miles to get back to the camp. One thing, there's one scene there that I particularly like that's very relevant, and I'd like to share that with you. Hopefully, I'll be sending these words out into the atmosphere so not only you, the listeners, will hear, but also all around the world. The middle of me, I know, it's just my take on things, but realize that we are all powerful co-creator gods in the making through that process of reincarnation from one life to another on different planets throughout the universe. We are purifying ourselves, getting rid of karmic debt. And on our soul's journey then, growing and learning how to control the powers of the universe that are available to us to control all those cosmic forces. Now, one big issue here on Earth, my friends, and I think you would get another place around the universe, because war is not unique here just to our planet. There's galactic wars going on even as we speak in different parts of the universe, and you know it's a huge place, right? But you have species that are involved with conflict and war and killing, and they're very ferocious, some are. You have all kinds of different species out there, or some that are just like every single creature here on Earth. They're going through evolution just like us. So you have some species that are feline, canine, you know, dogs, dog-head people. In other words, just like the Egyptians, right? You've got some cat-head people. Different kinds of cats, tigers, lions, and you've got insectoid extraterrestrials. You've got some that look like fish. You've got different kinds of fish. Any animal here on Earth, just imagine it is going through its own evolutionary process. Now, nothing is probably going to happen during their lifespan here on Earth later on. They're souls, and they do have a soul, that inner arc of life, my friends, that is transferred from the creator to these individual species, you know, whether it's the sentient type or the animal life type, the fourth force of the universe, which imparts that little bit of the spark of the creator into each and every living being, the creature. So, the universe, as you know, is it's hard to describe, it's hard to comprehend just how large the universe is. But I didn't get to what I was trying to say before about this one bit of wisdom, this advice I'm going to put into the atmosphere for all of us to remember. Please remember this, okay? Will you remember it? Say yes, please. I know. Not the way you are. We are. That is, revenge is in the hands of the Creator. Revenge is in the hands of the Creator. But too often, we take revenge into our own hands, right? We're so angry. Somebody in our family or among friends is killed unjustly. Then we tend to take matters into our own hands and we exact revenge. Although that Indian, Leonardo DiCaprio's character said that left him for dead. You know, after the bear mauled him, he was left for dead. And then the trapper killed his son. And so he explained that to the Indian. And the Indian said, well, my family was killed by Sioux Indians also. And he said his heart bleeds. But revenge is in the hands of the creator. And he walks off. And that's a pretty good attitude to have. That is the kind of attitude that an advanced soul will have and understand. So I put that into the atmosphere of my friends. Revenge is in the hands of the Creator. And remember, the Creator, there, the being, if you will, that electrical, powerful, omnipotent, omniscient being out there who is just the best friend you're ever going to have, coolest person you're ever going to know, knows how many hairs you have on your head, how many grains of sand are on every beach around planet Earth. That kind of intelligence, you know. He created, he, she, it's not he, it's just a he, she. The creative universe is both male and female, kind of like angels are both male and female, right? And if you want to learn a little bit more about the creator of the universe, watch that YouTube video called Coming Home. It's the name of the brand, or how would you describe it, that would make those videos, Coming Home. The woman's name is Dawn Rebadeau, R-E-B-A-D-O-W. She drowned, my friends, drowned, you know, underneath the water with lungs full of water and under there for a long time, you know. That's, I know it's hard to believe, but it's really true what happened to her. So she left her body, popped out of her body, went up into what she described as eternity, kind of like outer space, the star everywhere. And, you know, once you get outside the atmosphere of Earth, beyond the atmosphere into the orbit, and the stars look about 5% bigger and brighter, and they twinkle really a lot. And she said that she felt the creator of the universe coming up behind the planet, because she was kind of above the planet, you know, planet Earth. And then the creator came up, and she realized all of a sudden that she was in the presence of the creator of the universe. I'm going to take a drink. And so she's saying this to herself, oh my God, you are the creator of the universe. And she heard in her mind, like telepathically, back right away to her. And she, no, make no doubt about it, there's no doubt about it, that she heard this voice, I am the creator of the universe. And then she said, oh my God, you know everything. And she heard back, I know everything. And then the creator said, I even know how many grains of sand are on a beach in New Zealand. And immediately she was rocketed down to this beach with her head up against the sand on the beach. And she knew at that second exactly how many grains of sand were on that beach. And so she came back up, and she had a conversation with the creator and was told how things work around the universe and the nature of the universe and the laws of the universe and all that great knowledge that we don't have access to right now. But when we die, then we remember everything. Once we die, then our soul remembers all of that. But right now, we were made to forget being born into this planet. We were made to forget because that is a very, it's something that had to be done, because this environment, this school of planet Earth, is a very specific learning environment where we learn basic social values and learn not to kill each other and to love each other. Anyway, so then she's up there with the creator. And now tell me if this isn't cool or not. The creator says, God calls her by her name, so Donna, what would you like to do now? And she said, well, since you created me, I'll leave the choice to you. And then before she knew it, she was heading back down to her body. And as she went down, kind of like, it might have been a tunnel or something, going straight back down to her body, she heard this from the creator. Good answer! And she was going down. And all of a sudden, she's back in the body, and she says to herself, what just happened? Come on, God. I'm dead. I'm in my body. My lungs are full of water. I'm drowned. And at that second, she felt hands underneath her armpits lift her up, yet there was no one there, and bring her up above the surface of the water. And then other invisible hands slapped her on the back, and all that water came out by the gallons. And she breathed, and she was alive. And that's a true story, my friends. And if you don't believe that, well, just look at the video. See for yourself. Watch that lady tell her story. There's nothing false about that, my friends. You have to believe. Some things you just have to believe. And if you don't want to, well, then that's your loss. You know, if you're not going to evolve and grow, well, you'll probably have to come back, maybe not here on planet Earth after you die, but on a planet of a similar category, category one planet, which is what Earth is. I'm going to take a drink. And redo everything. You know, I don't want to come back to a planet like this with all this killing that's been going on for centuries and still is going on today. War, killing over in Ukraine, in the Gaza Strip. How many Palestinians have been killed? Like 40,000 plus. And it's 40,000, not all men. I'm sure most of them, or some of them, a good portion of them were women and children. Now tell me, is that right? I know a 1,400 Jewish people were slain, massacred on the 7th of October last year. But is that justification to kill 40,000 people? No, it's not. I'm part Jewish myself. I'm 8% European Jewish. And there has to be a better way. Bottom line, period. You got to be smarter than that. And that's just it. People don't have the intellect to resolve their differences peacefully. They're not smart enough, not intelligent enough. Yet we all pride ourselves with our intelligence, don't we? We pride ourselves with our intelligence. I don't know if I said that correctly. You know what I mean? Pride ourselves by our intelligence. Yet some people, they revert back to violence and being stubborn and uncompromising. And that's why we have all these wars and killing, because people just aren't smart enough. But we are getting smarter, right, every day on planet Earth. The good, the kind, the loving people in this world, the family-oriented, they're making a difference. The generous people, especially here in the United States, my friends, you know, if there's a major disaster or cataclysm around the world, who is the number one country to send aid and help and financial assistance? Let me hear it. The United States of America always, always is number one, or has been, I think, in my opinion. I don't know what the facts are, but I've noticed that the U.S. is always there to help around the world because we've got so many beautiful people. It's just a small minority of people who are the troublemakers, the tyrants, the dictators, the bullies, whatever you want to call them, here in the United States and around the world. You know, they're running roughshod over a lot of people. Now, take, for example, Mr. Putin. He's probably one of the wealthiest people in the world. But I can't point a finger at him. I really like him, actually. Although, you know, he's got his troops in there killing Ukrainians. A lot of Russian troops are getting killed, too. But can we really point a finger at him and be hypocritical? Because not too long ago, we were just in Afghanistan, in Iraq. And how many innocent Afghani civilians were killed by American troops in Afghanistan and killed by drone strikes? I saw a movie, I forget what it was called, about all the people they would take out with drone strikes, you know. And they would just obliterate a house, you know. If there's 10, 15 people in a house, they were gone, blown away, you know. And so how can we be hypocritical to anyone when, think of all the wars we've been in, Vietnam, we went in there. We didn't have to invade that country. It, all in the name of wiping out communism. Sometimes they do things differently to control their people. It's a different culture, you know. At least they don't want to have active shooters over there, you know, in China and Russia. Have you heard about too many active shooters over there, my friends? Now, don't get me wrong. America has been blessed from the very beginning, blessed by the Creator. Our founding fathers were inspired by God, and it was meant to be a place, a melting pot of diversity from people from all over the world to come here and live and share, live in harmony, all those good things. And I would say for the most part, we're doing pretty good. There are some issues and problems. You know, the politics is pretty cutthroat and competitive and backstabbing, but that's the nature of competition. You know, really, that doesn't get any better than that. I mean, if you like watching football or basketball or hockey or baseball, the best game going on right now is the political game, you know, between the Republicans and Democrats, even though they know they're wrong, because the founding fathers envisioned a country where the people, we the people, are governed by the politicians, and their welfare is their number one concern, or should be, but instead, the number one concern for them is their competition, which is wrong, but it's understandable because money's involved. But I think we're making progress. As I mentioned, we are all works in progress, and we're all working on our masterpieces. We're all co-creator gods in the making. If you could die, you are a co-creator god in the making. Well, let me change the subject. I'm going to take a drink here. Astro Legends TV in YouTube. Astro, A-S-T-R-A-L, Legends TV has some new videos. In episode 5, of all the extraterrestrial beings that they say they know, not believe, but know exist around the universe, you should check out those videos. Astro Legends is amazing because they'll tell you about all the different beings out there and the planets they live on and different type of planets. And also they have videos on what happens when we die and Akashic records. And it is totally amazing. I don't think they have all the answers. From my perspective, they differ a little bit with what I have been taught, what I have learned. But they've taught me some things I didn't know, but then there are some things that I haven't heard from them that I know to be real, especially this one planet out there called Thiaouba, T-H-I-A-O-U-B-A. There's a race of extraterrestrials who are hermaphrodite and 9 feet tall, and they have guardianship of planet Earth. They are one of the three most technologically and spiritually advanced in the Milky Way galaxy. Their spacecraft are capable of traveling several times the speed of light, and even faster. They can go interdimensional, when a lot of VTs can go interdimensional. And their whole spaceship just transforms, you know. It's what they call a disassembling and reassembling of molecules. And the universe is not made of just nothingness. It's a fabric, like Einstein said in his theory of general relativity. Space is a fabric which can be warped and bended. And also in his theory of special relativity, he said nothing can go faster than the speed of light. But once you get up close to the speed of light, then that energy begins to accumulate in the vehicle you're traveling in. It begins to contract, the mass contracts. And that power of getting up to that speed and the forces that are exerted upon the spacecraft can be utilized and transformed. It can be tapped into and transformed to make the spacecraft take that step into the other dimension, if you know what I mean, whether it's through electrical stimulation or some kind of other means. And then once they get into that parallel universe, that fourth dimension universe, then they can travel wherever they need to go by thought. And their spacecraft they're made of, are crafted of sometimes vegetable vegetation, vegetable matter, so that the spacecraft themselves are actually like living beings. Does that make any sense? I'm telling you the truth. Some of their spacecraft are actually like living beings because they're made with vegetable matter or plant matter. That's a better way of putting it. Remember what I said before on a previous show, you have the four forces of the universe. I mentioned the fourth force, which is that bit of the creator's spark put into sentient beings. But the first force is the force that created all these suns, planets, and moons. Second force created all the plant and animal life. And the third force is what created all the different sentient life out there. And if you want to learn a whole bunch about the sentient life, as I mentioned, just watch some of the Astro Legends videos. The guy that narrates most of the videos is just totally awesome. I wish I knew that guy. I don't know if he lives here on planet Earth or not, because his knowledge is just incredible. Maybe he knows more. Maybe he knows everything I know and more, but it's fantastic to watch those videos. Astro Legends TV, my friend, I highly recommend it. You can learn a lot. And learning should be the greatest single enjoyment that we have, right? On Earth, I mean, besides, you know, physical desires, etc., if you know what I mean, learning is, for extraterrestrial beings out there, the number one thing that they enjoy doing most. Imagine traveling around the universe and coming up to an unexplored solar system and then not knowing what kind of life you're going to find, and different life, because the creator is a very creative creator, and you don't find the same, I mean, you can find the same life elsewhere, but more often than not, I think you would find different types of species and life like we have no idea of. We couldn't even imagine some of the life that's out there. It is so unique and incredible, you know? The creator is a totally awesome being that's been in existence for billions of years. So, I mean, if you can think in terms of years, I myself am only 70 years old. The creator has been in existence for over 15 billion years, even before that, even before the physical universe, the material universe was created. The creator existed, and there was nothing but silence and darkness, you know, and nothing but the creator. So the creator wanted to grow. That's it, really, the bottom line. I want to grow. What can I do to grow, said the creator to his or herself. How about I create the physical universe, and I'll have all these planets, which are warmed by sun, stars, and then I'll put kind of like my own children on these planets, and they'll be alive, and then they'll be going on a journey throughout the universe and growing their souls until they achieve co-creator God status, where they can't be me, but they can be like me, and they can know how to utilize the forces of the universe. And then, if they want to, after they've done everything that they can do, they can assimilate themselves into my overall being like a drop of water into the ocean of God's Spirit, and thereby provide that extra little bit of growth that the Creator seeks. It's all about growth. What do you know about growth, my friends? Well, what I know is I was a baby once. I can't remember too much. How about you? And think about where we came from. We were born, we were a baby in our mother's wombs for 9 months, not breathing air, breathing liquid, if you will. And then we come out into the world, and then we're breathing, and we're babies for a couple, 3 years, and we begin to walk, and then we grow, and hopefully, you know, we reach adolescence and become adults and then live to be a ripe old age and become elderly. And maybe if we're lucky, if God blesses us, you know, if that's the way it's meant to be, in other words, then we can live to be 100 years old and maybe even more, you know? Every day on earth is a blessing and it's a gift. Every day on earth is an opportunity to learn something new. And that's something we should all be striving for. Just don't become complacent and think that you don't have anything else to learn. You do. Even the smartest person is here on earth, the most intelligent person, say someone like Einstein, who is no longer with us, but he was always pushing himself to the limit, growing, developing himself. So I'm going to take a drink here. I'd like to sing a song for you. Because the things I talk about are very esoteric, right? And I'm not asking for praise or worship. You know, we're all in this together. I might be, my soul might be a little bit older than yours. I don't know. Maybe your soul's older than mine. You know, but we're still souls. We're kind of like brethren, you know, brothers and sisters. Just because you have a brother who's in a lower grade than you doesn't mean you're better than him. It just means that you've been alive longer than he has. You know what I mean? But we're all brave souls here on earth. My friends were born into this world. We know it's a very difficult place to live in. There's a lot of ways to die. There's a lot of danger everywhere. This planet is a difficult planet in as much as there's Mother Nature, and, you know, when in her fury, she can kill a lot of people, whether it's from a tornado or a hurricane or an earthquake or volcanoes exploding or tsunamis or dangerous animals. You know, we're not at the top of the food chain. There's poisonous snakes and spiders. There's a lot of ways to get killed from Mother Nature, if you know what I mean. And then the atmosphere weighs down upon us. And so it is a very difficult place to live. So give yourselves a pat on the back and know that you are a survivor and you volunteered to come here and you're a brave soul for having done so. Don't knock yourself too harshly. Always give yourself a second chance. And other people should be giving you second chances too. A heart needs a second chance, my friends. Be loving, be kind to everyone. Give everyone the respect they deserve, the dignity they deserve as a human being on planet Earth. But here's a song. It's called Courage My Soul. We're going to sing it at church tomorrow. It goes like this. Courage my soul, and let us journey on. Though the night is dark and I am far from home, thanks be to God, the morning light appears. The storm is passing over. The storm is passing over. The storm is passing over. Hallelujah. 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 The storm is passing over. The storm is passing over. The storm is passing over. Hallelujah. Well, hold on a second, my friends. I'm going to walk over here and open up the window. I'd close it because the dog was barking in the backyard, but I need to get a little bit of fresh air in here. So give me 2 seconds. All right. So it's 10 to 7. I got about four more minutes left. We're going to take another drink. I watched the Army-Navy game today. You know, having worked for the Army over 43 years, I told you that before, right? And actually, I take that back. I'm going on 43 years. I'll have 43 years next May. And I'm very grateful for everything the Army's done for me. There's lots of opportunities to grow in the Army, in the military, the U.S. military. It's been wonderful. It really has. And now I'm getting to retire, getting ready to retire next August. That's the plan, although I have 4 months of sick leave. So my last workday might be around the end of April. And so far, the plan is to stay here in San Antonio because my wife has health care here. I wanted to move to New Mexico, but because of my wife's health care and because of the elevation there in New Mexico, I didn't realize that so many cities were many thousands of feet above sea level. And I don't like the air being that thin. So I changed my mind, but we're going to get another place. And there's still a lot of things we have to work out, the details, but basically, and I've said this before in a previous show, my wife and I are going to move to a separate house and live by ourselves because now I live with my stepdaughter and grandchildren, and only my grandson is working. My stepdaughter doesn't work. She works the polling stations like twice a year, early voting 2 weeks at a time. Other than that, like for the last 2 or 3 years, she hasn't had a job. I pay for everything here in the house. And my granddaughter, India, she's like 23, 24 years old. And she dropped out of college maybe a couple of years ago, and she's not doing anything. My granddaughter, Malia, is 15. She's in the 10th grade, but she's a real firecracker. And sometimes she throws temper tantrums and screams and yells and slams doors. So in our old age, we're kind of looking towards having a more peaceful kind of environment. Also, I'll be making less money, so I'm going to, I have to scale back on some things. And I think the best way to do it is to rent a house somewhere here in San Antonio. And whether I sell this house or allow them to stay in it, and I'll pay the mortgage and then they'll pay the utilities. I don't know. We haven't worked that out yet. But anyway, how about another quick song? Remember those stars in the evening sky, my friends. They're out there. Look at the stars. See how they shine for you and everything you do. And they were all yellow. Yes, every single sun that you see up there in the evening sky is, just imagine in your mind, it belongs to a being, someone who lived a life, who went through a soul journey, achieved co-creator God status, and now is the co-creator God of a solar system with their soulmate, and they have spirit children. And they have all those beautiful planets in their solar system that they helped to create by utilizing the forces of the universe and using those words, speaking those words, just like the Bible said. In the beginning, there was the Word. Enough said, right? How about this little short song here? There are stars in the southern sky. Southward as you go, there is moonlight moss in the trees, down the seven bridges road. Oh, by the way, I wanted to share this with you before my time's gone. I found something out. I'm going to try this for the next couple of weeks and see how it goes, because I think it contributes to sleep apnea, and I'll talk about it more in the next show. Work out in the morning before you eat anything on an empty stomach. That kind of puts you on automatic the rest of the day. And because I've noticed so many times when I've worked out, like in midday after eating something, my body just doesn't perform that well. And also, when you work out on an empty stomach, you burn more calories. So sleep apnea is usually caused by obesity or maybe having a big stomach. And I don't know why I didn't think of this before. I mean, I did, but I didn't follow through with it. Now I'm going to give it a try. I'll let you know next Saturday how it works out. But I'm feeling really good about this. I never give up hope, my friends, at making myself better. You know, I have sleep apnea. Millions of Americans do, okay? So I'm not going to feel guilty about having sleep apnea. I'm just trying to figure it out. Why? You know, I think everything can be rationalized. I've got 1 minute, my friends. So you hear what I said. I'm going to check back with you next Saturday on that subject. But do some research. If you're interested, do a little bit of research on the internet about that, like I did. And I'll talk to you later, my friends. I love you. Thank you for listening. May the creator of the universe, please bless us, all of us. Watch over us and protect us. Thank you for everything. We love you. Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you next week. I love you. Bye-bye.